Let's begin with a word of prayer. Our eternal, loving, gracious Heavenly Father, it is so good for us, Lord, when we are here. It is good for us when we have thy word in front of us. Lord, when we come into thy presence hungry and thirsty for thy word, knowing that thou wilt fill us, even to overflowing. And so we come into thy house in this evening hour with this expectation, Lord, that thou wilt bless us and that thou wilt fill us with thy good and thy holy word, with thy good and thy Holy Spirit, and Lord, that thou wouldst direct us in the ways that thou wouldst have us to go. And so we yield to thee, Father, and we ask, Lord, that thy word would have the preeminence among us in this evening hour, for we pray these things in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. For our reading this evening, let's turn to the Old Testament and read from 1 Samuel chapter number 5. 1 Samuel chapter number 5. That's page 333 in the Pew Bible. And the Philistines took the Ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer to Ashdod. When the Philistines took the Ark of God, they brought it to the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. And when they of Ashdod arose early on the morrow, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the earth before the Ark of the Lord. And they took Dagon and set him in his place again. And when they arose early on the morrow morning, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord. And the head of Dagon and both the palms of his hands were cut off upon the threshold. Only the stump of Dagon was left to him. Therefore, neither the priest of Dagon nor any that come into Dagon's house tread upon the threshold of Dagon in Ashdod unto this day. But the hand of the Lord was heavy upon them of Ashdod, and he destroyed them, and smote them with emerods, even Ashdod and the coast thereof. And when the men of Ashdod saw that it was so, they said, "The ark of the God of Israel shall not abide with us, for his hand is sore upon us and upon Dagon our God." They sent, therefore, and gathered all the lords of the Philistines unto them, and said, "What shall we do with the ark of the God of Israel?" And they answered, "Let the ark of the God of Israel be carried about unto Gath." And they carried the ark of the God of Israel about thither. And it was so that after they had carried it about, the hand of the Lord was against the city with a very great destruction. And he smote the men of the city, both small and great, and they had emerods in their secret parts. Therefore they sent the ark of God to Ekron. And it came to pass, as the ark of God came to Ekron, that the Ekronites cried out, saying, "They have brought about the ark of the God of Israel to us, to slay us and our people." So they sent and gathered together all the lords of the Philistines and said, "Send away the ark of the God of Israel, and let it go again to his own place, that it slay us not, and our people." For there was a deadly destruction throughout all the city. The hand of God was very heavy there. And the men that died not were smitten with emerods, and the cry of the city went up to heaven. This was a time in the history of Israel when things weren't going so well for them. They had settled themselves into the land of Israel. They had established themselves there. They had judges for quite some time. And the corruption within the country was growing. Eli the priest had two sons who were corrupt, and they were supposed to be priests. And then Samuel came along, and he became the priest, and God was allowing them to lose battles, and the Philistines came against them, and we read in the previous chapter that they lost a battle, and they lost the children of Israel lost 4,000 men. And then they decided, well, we don't want to lose against the Philistines, so let's bring the Ark of God here into our area where we are now, and let's rejoice. And so they did, and they brought the Ark there where they were, and they were rejoicing, and they were shouting. And the Philistines heard the shouting of the Israelites, and they heard what had happened, that the Ark of God had come to them. And they were fearful, and the Philistines were scared. And then they rallied themselves together, and they said, quit you like men, and let's be strong. And they came against the children of Israel, and even though the Ark of God was with them, the children of Israel were soundly defeated, and they lost another 30,000 men in that battle. And the two sons of Eli, who were corrupt, were killed in that battle as well. And then the Ark of God was taken as well, to make matters worse. And when Eli heard that what had happened, that 30,000 men died and his two sons died, and then that the Ark of God was taken, that the Bible says he fell over backwards and he was heavy and he died there, and he was old, and things weren't going very good for them. And so the Philistines then, when they won this battle, we pick up the reading here. It says that they took the Ark of God and they brought it from Ebenezer unto Ashdod. Ashdod is a city down by the coast of the Mediterranean Sea, the area where the Philistines mostly lived, in modern-day Gaza area. And they brought the Ark of God there. Now, the Ark of God was essentially a wooden chest that was overlaid with gold. And among other things, what was in that chest was the two stone tablets that the Ten Commandments of God were on. And so it represented God, and it was the presence of God there. And they took, these enemies of Israel, took this Ark of God and brought it into the house of Dagon, one of their idols that they worship, and they set it by Dagon. In other words, they were handling the Ark of God very lightly and very casually. And they didn't know what it was in fullness. They had some idea what it was, but not in fullness. And it says that they of Ashdod rose up early on the morrow, and behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the earth before the Ark of the Lord. And they took Dagon and set it again in its place. And so the things that of all the things that happened when the Ark of God was in the possession of the Philistines, this was the lightest matter that happened. Simply that Dagon fell over before the Ark of God. The subsequent things that happened were more severe to the Philistines. But this was the lightest matter, and it's a reflection of God's love and a reflection of His mercy that He had even to them. And that they should have simply recognized that at that moment that what it was that the Ark of God meant. So they set Dagon back in his place again, and when they arose early on the next morning, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the ground before the Ark of the Lord, and the head of Dagon and both the palms of his hands were cut off upon the threshold, and only the stump of Dagon was left to him. Now it became more severe. Now this idol of Dagon that the Philistines held dear and whom they worshipped, it was broken before the Ark of God. And therefore the priests of Dagon and neither any that came to Dagon's house tread upon the threshold of Dagon and Ashdod unto this day. There was a fear that they had there. But the hand of the Lord was heavy upon them of Ashdod, and he destroyed them and smote them with emerods, even Ashdod and the coast thereof. So now they were experiencing the heaviness of the hand of God, that they were in possession of the Ark of God, and they were that did not belong to them. It was not their possession. It was not something that they should have or keep with them. And so the hand of the Lord was heavy upon them, and he destroyed them, the Bible here says. And then he also smote them with emerods, diseases and health issues, Ashdod and the coast thereof. And when the men of Ashdod saw that it was so, that they said, "The ark of God of Israel shall not abide with us, for his hand is sore upon us, and Dagon our God." They sent, therefore, and gathered all the lords of the Philistines unto them, and said, "What shall we do with the ark of the God of Israel?" And they answered, "Let the ark of God of Israel be carried about unto Gath." And they carried the ark of the God of Israel unto Gath. So they removed it from Ashdod. They took the ark of God, and they brought it to Gath. So they brought it inland to another city of the Philistines. And the same thing happens to them. The hand of the Lord was heavy upon them. They were smitten with emerods in their secret parts, and they were smitten of God in that city. Again, not realizing what it was that they were handling, what it was that they were keeping in their possession. And so they sent the ark of God to Ekron. And the same thing happens in Ekron. And Ekron, the Ekronites didn't want the ark of God to come to them because they had heard what had happened in Ashdod and in Gath. And they didn't want us. And they said they brought about the ark of the God of Israel to us, to slay us and our people. They knew what was going to happen. It had happened in Ashdod. They were smitten. They were smitten with emerods, these diseases. And so they sent and gathered all the lords of the Philistines and said, "Send away the ark of the God of Israel and let it go again unto his own people." For there was a deadly destruction throughout all the city, and the hand of God was heavy there. And the men that died not were smitten with emerods, and the cry of the city went up to heaven. This was a very tumultuous for the Philistines. They recognized something's going on here. Something's happening to us. We are being smitten. We are dying. The men here are dying in our cities. And the rest have diseases upon them. And so they do a test and they say, "Well, let's put this ark of God upon a cart and two kine to cattle to take it. And if it goes directly to one of these cities of Israel, then we know that this was of God." And it happened that way, and we can read that in the next chapter as it had happened. And so we see that when the creation of God doesn't worship the one true God, that God does not have tolerance for sin. God does not have tolerance for idolatry. I really appreciate the verse in Isaiah 42:8 that I also referenced on Sunday morning, where the Lord says, "I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give unto another, neither my praise to graven images." They found that out. The Philistines found that out. That God was not going to share his glory with Dagon. He was not going to occupy the same room and allow Dagon to stand there. And so Dagon was destroyed. Dagon fell down and was broken. And the men were smitten in that city. And the ones that weren't smitten had emerods. And so the Lord, that is his name, and his glory he will not share with another. We are to worship him and to worship him alone. And the Philistines had come to find this out. In Psalms we read of the glory of the Lord as well. In Psalm 46 it says that the heathen raged and the kingdoms were moved. In other words, the children of Israel and the Philistines were having these battles. And they raged, and kingdoms were moved. Sometimes the Philistines would win, sometimes the children of Israel would win. And the battles would go back and forth. And then throughout history, we see that battles go on. And there's blood that's shed. And we think that that's something big. The heathen rage and the kingdoms are moved. But it says that he utters his voice and the earth melts. When God just simply has to speak and the earth melts. And so we are to recognize who the one true God is and glorify him. And then further on, the very familiar verse in Psalm 46 says, "Be still and know that I am God." We are to be still, to be at peace, to be at rest, and know that God is God, and there is no other God. And that verse continues and says, "I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." The ark of God was exalted in the presence of the Philistines. He was exalted. Though God allowed the Philistines to destroy and win against the Israelites and kill 30,000 men, 34,000 if you include both battles, though all that, God is still showing, even among the heathen, that he is God and that there is none other. And this is certainly a message and an experience that the Philistines had never forgotten. The Lord does not tolerate sin. The Lord does not tolerate idolatry. And when he speaks of his holiness and of his righteousness and of his sovereignty, none is to speak against. The Lord Jesus Christ says, "I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come." God is not a God to be trifled with. He's not a God to be lightly spoken of or referred to or thought of or worshipped. Our God is not to be trifled with. We are not to take him lightly. And so Jesus Christ here says some words that are very, very impactful, that if we speak blasphemously against the Holy Ghost, that there is no forgiveness in that. There is no forgiveness in that. The Philistines recognized just how great God was. And we are to remember that likewise. Hebrews speaks to this as well, of a God who is not to be trifled with. "He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses." So let's consider that for a moment. God delivered the law. That law was contained upon two tablets, and it was in this ark of God, and it was something that the Lord placed a great value on and commanded his children to keep. And if there was any that despised that law that Moses gave, they were to die without mercy underneath the hand of two or underneath the watch of two or three witnesses. Without mercy. No mercy. This man despised Moses' law. He's to be killed, and it's to be witnessed as well. So then, if that's true, of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. If Moses' law, which was the ministration of death, not the ministration of life, demanded that those that would despise his law would die without mercy underneath two or three witnesses, then the severity of counting the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood that was spoken about last Sunday afternoon, of the preciousness of the blood of Christ, if it's regarded as an unholy thing, how much sorer punishment would be given unto such a one? For we know him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. The Lord judged the Philistines. They were in possession of the ark of God. They had no business having the ark of God in their possession. And they were judged because of it. The men were smitten, and those that weren't smitten had emerods and disease in their bodies. Vengeance belongs to the Lord, and the Lord will judge his people. If we deal lightly, if we are trifle, if we count that which the Lord has done, or who the Lord is, lightly, that our redemption was paid for, and we respond to that with casualty and with lightness, the Lord will judge his people. And so it says here then, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. The Philistines experienced that. The Philistines experienced that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. The Bible says that all will worship the Lord. Everyone. Gentile, Jew, heathen, atheist, whoever, all will worship the Lord. The idols of the world are nothing. In Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, we read, And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. All that dwell upon the earth. There is none that will not worship him. There is coming a time when all will worship him that are upon this earth, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Even those who will refuse to bow the knee to the Lord, even those that say there is no God, even those who are blasphemous, they will worship the Lord. The Bible here says so. All that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Our God is not to be trifled with. Our God is to be reverenced. Our God is to be served with the highest of regard. The ark of the Lord was special. The man's name was Uzzah, who tried to stabilize the ark because the cattle were unsteady. And when the cart was unsteady, Uzzah put his hand there to stay and to refrain the ark of God. And he was smitten of God. Our God is not a God to be trifled with. Our God is to be reverenced. Our God is to be worshipped. Our God is to be adored. Our God is to be served. Our God is to be blessed. This is the God that we serve. And he will bless us abundantly. When the children of Israel turned from the commandments of the Lord, when every man did that which was right in his own eyes, it didn't go very favorable for the children of Israel. They were smitten of their enemies. The ark of the Lord was taken from among them. Those who were familiar to them died in battles. We are to worship our God. And we are to praise him for what he has done, for this plan of salvation that he has given unto all mankind through Jesus Christ is to be held in high regard. The blood that was shed is to be held in high regard because of what Jesus did, because of who Jesus is. The Bible says that God hath highly exalted Jesus and given him a name that is above all names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This is what the Lord wants of us, to reverence him and to count all that he has done for us of highest regard in our hearts and in our lives, by the way we live, by our attitudes, by our thought processes, by our aspirations, by what motivates us. May God be glorified in our lives. Amen.